me start. Okay, I'm Margie Milam. I'm on the policy staff here, and I apologize for us starting late, but the GNSO Council meeting ran late. And why don't we go around the room and introduce ourselves, and then we'll go on.
Sorry, just one moment. I just want to check with you. In the room, we only have you and Mike O'Connor. Do you want me to start the recording now?
Yes, please.
Just give me 2 seconds, and I'll confirm when it's running. One moment.
Thank you.
The call is now being recorded. Please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. We're going to get started with an informal meeting on vertical integration. We just concluded the GNSO Council meeting where the charter for this for the working group was approved. And I think we can get started by going around the table and introducing ourselves. And then we'll talk about logistics on how we want to proceed with this working group. So why don't we start at that end? I guess it's Barry.
Sorry, I have a trail mix in my mouth. Yes, Barry Cobb with the Business Constituency.
Martin Sutton, Business Constituency.
Richard Tindall. I'm just using the table for my computer, though. I'm not, like, part of anything.
Avery Doria, NCSG.
Mary Wong, NCSG Counselor and Lollipop Purveyor.
Debbie Hughes, American Red Cross, NCSG.
Liz Gaster, ICANN staff.
Margie Milam, ICANN staff.
Stefan Van Gelder, Registrar.
John Nevitt, Domain Dimensions.
Jeff Eckhouse, Registrar, Stakeholder Group, and I guess a member of the drafting team.
Wendy Seltzer, NCSG.
I'm Edward Bruno from Core Registrar and not a member of the group, I think.
Rob Hogarth, ICANN staff. And while I have the mic, if I can confirm that there's audio being sent out, that's already been asked in the chat room.
Have we gone around the table? No.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so I guess I'll hand it over to Stefan since you're the council liaison to get us started.
Yeah. Can you just give me 5 seconds? I'm having a plug problem.
Oh, perfect. Chuck, why don't you go ahead?
Sure. I just wanted to tell you that there are probably 12 to 15 people in the room here in Reston. Do you want us to go through the names, or are you satisfied with a count?
I think it'd be useful to have the names.
Okay. I think I can give you most of those. So we have Christina Rosette, Kane, Jeff Newman, Jing Chang, Staten, and Steve Holston, and Fabricio Vira. We have, let's see, I'm looking around, I have to turn directions here. Greg Aaron and Bob Mountain, Mikey O'Connor, Greg Schwartz, Ken Hansen, and I'm blank on one name. Tim Switzer from New Star as well. So I think that covers it right now.
Are there any others remotely? Okay, I guess no one wants to introduce themselves. If there's anyone else on. Stefan, are you good?
Yeah, I'll not quite, but is this working? Yeah, good.
Hello.
Oh, this is better. Welcome, everyone. So we, as you saw in the, those of you who are in the council meeting, we have a charter. Perhaps the first step, what I'd like to try and do today is to try and see what the working... Those participating remotely, we're obviously having technical problems. The mics are going on and off, so I don't know how much you were able to hear. I started off by saying that one of the first things that I suggest this group does is to try and work out who's in the group. Then in the charter there was a suggested timetable. There is the question of Objective 5 and the motion that has just been approved by... Is this working? Yes? Okay. And the motion that was just approved then has us as a request for us to come back to the council with... some sort of plan for Objective 5. Avery, you're waving to me. Please go ahead.
Do we have what the charter actually looks like now? And is that in a place we can see? And is it posted somewhere? And can it be up there and all that good stuff? Okay, thanks.
Yeah, Marika's just working on that. And we'll try and get that up as soon as possible. Is there any reason why the screens aren't working in this room? Oh, okay. Sorry. So Marika's just plugging in. We're just getting warmed up. Please bear with us. The first thing, then, I would echo Chuck's call in the council meeting for a call to the various groups for volunteers and participants in the working group so that people outside of this room and this community know that this work is going on and they may request to be on the working group. We might have an issue of whether we want to limit the number of people on the working group or not. And that's something that I'd first of all like to open up for discussion. And if we do, how would we achieve that? Does anyone want to comment to that? Avery.
I'd like to put a comment in against limiting it, certainly limiting it at the beginning, you know, when we put out the call. Maybe then once we've gotten a complement of people, we see that what the distribution is, and we say, okay, now for new people coming in, there needs to be some sort of consideration before we allow growth in the middle of a tight schedule. But certainly at the beginning, I would suggest against the limitation. By the way, in terms of number of people talking and working, no matter how big the group is, the functional part of a group always remains about the same size.
That's a good point. Thanks. So let's just put a call out there. And I suggest that we do set, I mean, I understand the no limits, but I do suggest that we set a deadline for responses. And I would like to suggest that deadline be maybe a week from now. Why am I suggesting that? Because we've been asked by the council to come back to them relatively quickly before their next meeting, and I'm trying to get the text of the... no, but there's been an amendment that says... Yeah. Yeah. So what we have on the charter, in the original charter, was 2 weeks for recruitment. However, as we just saw in the council meeting, we are tasked with coming back to the council with a solution for Objective 5 in 3 weeks. Is that correct, Marika? I can't remember what was on the... was it 3 weeks? Okay, well, I think it was. So, given that short time frame, I think it might be, if the group present here agrees, I would suggest that we limit that to a week. Do people feel that is just too short? Jeff, are you nodding no?
I'm nodding that's an appropriate time.
I'd like to suggest a week after this meeting ends.
Yeah, that makes sense. Can I just ask people, sorry, I forgot to do that, to introduce themselves the first time they speak so that people participating remotely know who they are. My name is Stefan van Gelder. I don't think I did that. So that would be, the call would then go out from 1 week from this Friday. Everybody okay with that? Good. Okay, I have a suggestion to make it Monday because people would be traveling over the weekend. So that would be when? Next Monday? I mean, let's get a date on this. A week from next Monday, that's the 22nd. Yes? Okay. So let's go ahead and set the deadline for responses at the 22nd. And ask people in this room to spread that message out amongst their groups. We will put out a call, Glenn. The council will put out a call, and we'll take it from there. Jeff.
Thanks. It's Jeff Beckhouse. Quick question, just where, for the people who want to respond, where should they send their responses?
Please send the responses to the GNSO Secretariat. Glenn@ICANN.org, if that's easiest.
Thanks. Okay. So what did we have next? I've forgotten my own agenda now. I'm just looking at the milestones that were in the charter. But I guess we should maybe start by speaking a little bit about Objective 5 and the way that we would go about producing our answer for the council there. Has anyone... First of all, is the amended motion clear for everybody? Good. And perhaps we can get that up on the screen. Just the part about the amendment, the last amendment that we voted on. But before I do that, can I just remind the group that one of the steps that we will need to do, but I think we ought to wait to do this, obviously, until the group is... You know, the membership of the group is known. One of the things that you will have to do as a group is to elect a chair. I will be standing in as interim chair, as the motion dictates, until that is done. And you may wish to elect a new chair when the group is put together. But that will have to be done, obviously, once the once we've passed our deadline for calls for volunteers. So does anyone... there's the amendment that was passed. And let me just read that out again just to make sure that everyone has that. Is that the latest version? Yeah. Resolve further that the working group is directed to develop a version of Objective 5 and to recommend it to the Council within 3 weeks for either A, Council approval, or B, Council vote on which version we choose. So we have two choices. We can either try and thrash it out amongst ourselves and just produce one Objective 5 to the Council, or we can say to the Council, no, we've not been able to do that ourselves, so we're going back to you with two Objective 5s, and you work it out. John.
I assume that the drafting team went through this exercise at Infinito, so why would the Council think that this group would be able to come up with one version of Objective 5 when there are four pending this morning?
Well, a couple of reasons. I'll take your point. But first of all, this group is not the drafting team. There may be new people in there, and we may hear new arguments. The decision process may be different. Secondly, things have moved on since the drafting team discussed it, and that situation may have changed as well. So I'm just trying to stay optimistic. My advice to the group would be to come back with a choice. I mean, it would obviously be a better solution for this work that the group itself, now that the Council has given it that leeway, the group itself choose its own Objective 5, come to, you know, some kind of definitive decision on that. But as pointed out, we have 3 weeks to do that, and that may be tough to do. That's why I wanted to start on that work now, even though the working group isn't complete. And before we go today, we will also possibly have to schedule a follow-up telephone call for the group so that we can take that work forward. So, with that being said, has anyone got any suggestions for how we could try and suggest a version of Objective 5 that would satisfy everybody? I'm so glad I asked that question.
For those who haven't been participating throughout the drafting team, is there a red line of the comparing the versions 5 and a short from which we could get a short description of the differences?
Sorry, I was somewhere else, doing something else.
Is there a red line comparing the different versions of Objective 5?
No, I don't think there is as such, to be honest. We have two, I mean, your point is very good. We have two versions that have been, that are included on the charter as it is. There's a main version. Let me go back to that. That's a very good point. How did we get to this situation? The drafting team proposed two or three versions of this Objective 5. One was proposed by the NCSG, I believe.
To be precise, one was proposed, I think, by me in the first "let me draft something so people can throw stones at it" exercise.
Who do you represent?
I was a member of the NCSG, but it wasn't being done as a representative. It was being done, yes, I am a member of the NCSG, but I wasn't saying this is the NCSG okay. position.
Fair enough. Sorry about that confusion then. So one was proposed by Avery. One was proposed by the IPC, and there was a slightly different version proposed by the BC. Now, I'm looking around. I don't see any BC reps here, but sorry. I'm talking reps on this group, not council reps. Reps on this group. Yeah. We've got.
Shut should correct what I said. The first one that was adopted was basically I put in a throw stones at marker. People in the group threw stones at it for a couple weeks. It ended up morphing into what was five. So I think it was the one that was, I would say, the one that had been proposed by the active members in the design team at that point in time. And then once it settled down, then we got the alternates from the others.
Okay, thanks. Ron, just before coming to you, can I just ask a question of the BC, which was my understanding from private discussions I've had, was that the BC would actually be okay with the IPC's version of the Objective 5. Is that correct?
This is Ron Andrew. That's exactly what I was going to say, Stefan, is that I don't see that we would have any problem with the IPC one, particularly because it's internet users, and we always support that.
Right, that's very useful and helpful. Thanks. So that means my suggestion is that we have two versions and not three, which simplifies things a lot. Those two versions are up there, and so now our task is to ascertain, and this is what got people giggling earlier on, so I'll probably do so again, but whether we can choose between one or the other or another version. We are free to actually make changes to this now. The only thing that we've been asked to do is to come back with either one version or two possibilities. So once again, can I open comments up? Can I open up the discussion to this? First of all, one of the questions that I'd like to ask is, would people feel, what's people's feelings about the two objectives that we have in front of us? Should we start working on those two, or is there any need to look at something else?
It's Jeff here. I'm okay working on between these two. Unless somebody has another piece to put in front, I'm okay working on these two that are up here right now.
Does everybody agree with that? Wendy?
I'm just wondering whether somebody can create a quick red line highlighting the differences between those two to help us focus our discussion.
That's very helpful. Can someone do that? Wolf?
I don't think we can redline in Adobe Connect, can we? Okay. Well, Marika's the expert.
Wolf.
Thank you, Stefan. Wolf Ulrich Norman, council member from the ISP constituency. You remember the very late amendment we brought up this morning. I'm sorry about that. And that confused somebody, and it was rejected then at the end. But the intention of this amendment was, well, to overcome these differences between these two types of objectives files we have in front of. So, and it is based on, let me say, on an understanding of this difference. This we have, so, and I would like to bring it up, and maybe it's wrong or it's not that deep enough. So we understand the objection 5 as it is, the main objective, in that way that there is a need, well, to get information about the about the kind of aspects which are impacting the vertical integration separation issue. So and this information should come from or should be collected here within that meeting, within that team. So the question is just, in which way this should be done. So this is my understanding. So the one which was here brought up by Alfred, it seemed to me very general. not too specific as the other one from the BCNI IPC is with regards to get into more detailed research in this respect. So, however, we understand that if we go into more detail in this respect, that it might harm the new GDLD implementation process in terms of timelines, keeping timelines. So that's our understanding. So now, having these both positions, so we tried, well, to how can we manage, you know, different or, let me say, controversial targets in this respect. So we would like to have more detailed information on the one hand side. On the other hand, we wouldn't like to harm the process, the implementation process as well. And that's where we're standing. And so I suggested, why shouldn't we go for that just to research for more details, but strictly impose limitations to the extent how much detail we would like to have. So that's the intention. And that was the reason why I brought up this. Maybe it's not clearly, it didn't come clearly over, but that's the reason why I came up with that. Thank you.
Avery.
Yeah, I think, first of all, I totally agree with you that the original one, the first one there, is somewhat ambiguous, as opposed to saying it's more general, I would say it's somewhat ambiguous. And I think that that's why, at that point, it ended up sort of a compromise wording, because when some people read it, they say, oh, material deviation, that's very, very narrow. When I read it, I basically see material deviation as being almost the equivalent to the words that are in the second version, because anything that hurts, oh, I should have said I'm Avery Doria again, sorry, NCSG. Still, I think so. So basically, anything that changes the effect on the consumer or the registrant now would, to me, constitute something material. And so, therefore, in its ambiguity, it was something that left it as open as I wanted it, and yet it seemed as narrow as someone else in the group wanted it. Well, it's only if it's something material. So if it's something we're talking about, yes, you have to prove that that is a material thing you're talking about, and it's not just that it does, you know, X, Y, or Z that isn't material. But if you can define the deviation that's being made as one that is material, then it is in scope. Whereas, as it states now, that is a relatively broad scope, but you may find certainly, well, wait a second, that's not an effect to a registrant or to the user or to that, so no, it's out of scope. So that's just to explain, I agree with you, it was more general, it is more ambiguous, but sorry.
Thanks, Avery. Does anyone else have a comment? Yeah, Wolf, please.
Just to respond to that, so if you look to the text of this this object 5, so it's, I think it's formulated in that way, a kind of whether there are material effects or implications, so that just whether. So from my understanding, you know, if I read that, so that means, okay, it's very weak, you know, to investigate something and to find out, okay, whether there is some the material impact or not. So that's it, yes or no. So I would like to go into more detail to know what kind of impact that could be. So that's my concern in this direction.
Thanks, Wolf. I had Ron in the queue.
When I look at this red line version, thank you very much for putting that up. The difference between the words "the possible effects of potential changes" or "whether the changes," I don't see as being so difficult to get past. And I think that the possible effects of potential changes is just clearer language, and I think that should be something we should be easily supporting. And then the second change, whether we use DAG 3 or the most recent version of the DAG, I think that's the same thing. Those are two changes that could be taken right out or could be basically approved immediately, as I see it.
Jeff.
Thanks, Stefan. Jeff here. So I think this in the drafting, I was very much opposed to the term the possible effects of potential changes. The whole idea of this working group is to come to a conclusion quickly, and I don't know how you task a working group with figuring out what are the possible effects of these potential changes. By asking the working group to analyze, it's a task they can accomplish by asking them to try and, I guess, predict what are the possible effects of changes we don't even know what they are going to be, I think is an impossible task, and we're setting ourselves up to fail.
I didn't see who between you two was first, so whatever.
Oh. Yeah, this is Richard Tindall. I agree with Jeff. I think the word possible effects is just so incredibly broad that, and given that there's not going to be data, in my opinion, to support that. I mean, I can see 100 or 1,000 possible effects. I don't know. It could increase global warming. I don't know. It's possible. I mean, I can't disprove that it's going to increase global warming, so to me that's a possible effect. I can't disprove it, right? So the word possible to me is extremely broad, and I agree with Jeff. I think it should be likely effects.
Well, or just effects. From my point of view, Richard, I could agree with removing possible, but the whole point is it's about the effects of potential change, not whether there'll be a change. There's going to be some effect one way or another.
I'm not sure I fully understood that, but... Are you agreeing that it's that the word possible is very, very broad?
Yes, I am.
If you could put a possible effect on the table, if I don't have the data to disprove it, then I guess it remains a possible effect.
So I'm agreeing with you. The word possible could be removed, in my view.
So how about, just trying to make some headway, how about we start by removing that, the word possible, just change that first sentence to the effect. On a personal note, I actually quite like the likely effect because it directs it a little bit more, but, whatever.
Thank you, Stefan. Barry Cobb with the BC. I can concur, possible is definitely very broad and vague. Likely even works for me as well. In response to the notion of that it might be impossible to determine what these effects are, I think I have to disagree with that, and I do believe there's a couple of things that we can do as a working group or once the working group is defined. All it takes is getting a couple of really smart or three or four really smart people in the room and trying to outline what I would consider use cases, if anything, for lack of a better word, is, and I hate to use this word, categorization within GTLDs because we're not allowed to use them right now or not, but there are obvious distinctions within the TLD expansion that warrant the likelihood of what those effects may or may not be within those different kinds of TLD strings. For instance, dot brand versus a regular community TLD, those outcomes may have different effects in a vertically integrated scenario.
Thanks. So, who's working the text? Is it you, Margie, or is it Marika? So let's get some idea of whether we have consensus just on what was the word that you suggested, Richard? I forget now. Likely. Do we have consensus on that? Anyone online want to? Chime in, please do so. Avery, you're not online.
I know. And that's why there was a question mark in my hand going up. Yeah, Avery again. Likely is a nice sounding word, but I don't know what it adds to the effects or the likely effects, because then we can just quibble. That's not likely. Yes, that's likely. How do you define likely? Well, I define likely. And so, I mean, I don't see it as adding anything. You know, so I think it's a fine word, but I'm not sure what it buys us.
Okay, well, let's not complicate things then. I mean, Richard and others that were in favor of likely, would you be okay with just removing the word altogether?
Yeah, I don't like possible, but like... But
you're okay with just the effects? Okay, so we'll remove the likely as well. So let's try and work it through here if we can. And so using all the information that has been collected by ICANN to date, determine the effects of whether... Right, thank you. Yeah, they're working on it at the moment. So determine the effects of the changes to the current restrictions and or practices concerning registry, registrar separation and equivalent non-discriminatory access contained in the options set out in the most... I was actually going to say, what do we think of the first sentence? And then I realized there's just one sentence. Where was I? I've lost myself. That's better. Thanks. Okay. Thanks. So, any other changes that people would like to make or suggestions to the one sentence objective? Richard.
Yeah, Richard again. So this is more of a general comment. And I just want to see if I'm reading this the same way as everyone else is. So in sort of common language, I think it's asking, if you look at all of the options that have been laid out, all four options, what are the possible effects that can transpire from those? That's kind of what it's saying.
Possible again.
The effects, yeah. No, effects, yeah. So that's what it's saying, right? So my point is that the four options are the full spectrum of what can be done here, from one extreme to the other. So I guess my observation on this particular set of languages, this is an extremely broad and, to me, very large and complex task.
How would you like to narrow it?
I like the other option better. The next set of languages.
Sorry, the IPC one. Can we, as we go, perhaps...
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm jumping over the place. I was looking at the top one.
Yeah. Sorry?
Okay.
So, just clarify what you're saying, Richard.
Yeah, I was looking at the top option. So I'm sorry. I'll reserve that for when we're talking about the next one. I wasn't looking at the IP at the bottom option.
No, but hang on. Just to make sure I understand what you're saying, you're looking at right now we're looking at the first part, the first text, not the second version.
Okay.
Okay? That doesn't mean we can't discuss the second version. I'm just saying, what are you pointing at?
We're looking at the top option here.
Yeah.
Okay.
So your comment was?
My comment on that language is that we're looking at the effects of all of the four options, right, that are in the DAG now. Yeah, so it's just an observation. It's an observation. It's an extremely complex, large, time-consuming, it's a very, very big task that language describes.
Too large, that's what you're saying.
I don't know. It's just going to take an extraordinary amount of time, and a lot of data is going to be required, and it's just a huge job. Yeah, it's just...
Ron, you wanted to comment.
I was just going to read some comments from the chat. Jeff Schmidt says, not just what effects, but what effects constitute material deviations from current and past restrictions. And Jeff, let's see what it's just. Jeff notes that there are two new options presented in the latest economic report after DAC version 4, so this should be revised. There's some documents that were published just recently. We haven't had a chance to analyze them, but we'll have to look into that.
Well, I believe that's covered in what we've said. I mean, we looked at that on the drafting team. It says the most recent version of the DAG and supporting documents.
Yes, and that's why this is...
Can you, Jamie, use the mic and remind people who you are, please.
It seems to me that word constitute is missing something there before. If they constitute some
Sorry, I'm not clear on what you...
The verb constitute a material deviation, it's missing something before. It's...
What's missing?
Determine the facts of the change of the constitute and supporting documents. If is missing. Whether.
Weather. Add weather right before the effects.
Oh, I get it. Thanks, Jamie. Good catch. Ron, I'm ready for you now.
Thank you. This is Ron Andruff. I think that what Richard was saying is that the first Objective 5 that we're looking at, that text is very broad and could be very difficult to sort through in actual practice. And therefore, we should be trying to tighten it up. Option B, the second one, appears to try to do that by saying it's the options set out in the DAG, and that could be most recent or DAG 3, both are the same thing. And then it continues and changes considered by staff on, and then these elements. I think it's important that we, in fact, look at users of the Internet as the first priority. That, in fact, what impact will this have on users of the Internet? That's the first order of business. And then we start looking at the other elements of retail and wholesale markets and registrants of domain names. So, actually, registrants of domain names probably would be second, but between B and C, I'm not quite sure. It's users and registrants. So it should be reversing that order at the very least. We should be looking at what the impacts of any of these things will be on the users of the Internet, and then registrants, and then the retail and wholesale markets. But perhaps we can start to tighten up that language going in that direction.
Ron, this is J. Scott Evans from the IPC.
J. Scott, can I just... Sorry. Jeff, was that you? Is that you, Jeff? I thought it was Jeff Newman. It's Jeff.
It is Jeff Newman that just raised their hand.
J. Scott, I'll get to you next. Sorry. Jeff, please go ahead.
Okay, yeah. I'm not sure my last comment actually got considered. It was that there was DAG version 3 that came out, months ago, and then there is the other suggestions that were made to DAG 3 in the comments, and then there's also a few new options that were presented by the Economist that was released by ICANN this week. So I think there's just more options than the options presented in DAG 3.
Are you suggesting that we add options to what we have?
It depends on which version of the objective you're looking at. But if you're looking at the top version, it shouldn't say the most recent version of the DAG. It should be some other words in there that encompass all of the options that have been presented. Or if you use the second version, it's the options set out in the DAG and the economic... the IPC put in changes considered by ICANN staff, and frankly, we don't know what is being considered by ICANN staff. So we just need to encompass all the options that have been presented to date.
Thanks, Jeff. You know, one of the things that I'm realizing here is that we're still working on two different versions, and that's not helping us. As we're going through and editing this, may I suggest that we strike the second version of the IPC, not to censor them or anything, because what I'm suggesting is that we just have one text, and we can reintroduce what the IPC wants to put in there, but we're just working on one text. That will make it simpler for everybody, I think. Is everyone okay with that? Richard? Right. I'm not saying cancel the stuff. I'm just saying let's have one start point and work on that. And so having that, done that, John, sorry.
Yeah, just follow up to Jeff's point. I think supporting documents has a specific meaning in the DAG. So if you say supplementary or something like that, documents, that would, I think, take care of Jeff's point, Jeff Newman's point.
Replace supporting by supplementary.
Yeah. Does that work with you, Jeff?
Jeff?
Yeah, sorry about that. We have to actually walk up to one microphone here. And by the way, my affiliation is with Newstar, for those of you that don't know me. So the latest report was not supplementary to the latest version of the DAG. It's a complete separate, I don't even know what you call it, but it was presented by The Economist to the ICANN board 3 weeks ago. As long as it encompasses that, and we all understand it encompasses that, doesn't matter to me what it says.
Jeff, how about supplemental?
I guess that could work.
Okay, can we update that? And let's get to Jay Scott.
This is Jay Scott. I think you could say, and any supplemental documents, and that would take care of it. And you could then put a footnote there, as we've done, and explain what type of documents you're considering to be supplemental. For example, X, Y, and Z. Also, I agree with Ron that the A, B, and C that was in the IPC version is the better way to go, because it gives them focused deliverables about what they're trying to assess likely effects upon, rather than an open-ended, amorphous thing that seems to be too broad and too big to get your arms around.
I would, my personal view is that we should avoid footnotes. What do people think about, Jay Scott, you're suggesting that we we'll get that text. We reintroduce in the objective the, was it ABC, Margie, that we had before? Yeah.
I think if I understand Jay Scott clearly, he's saying we should work towards having very specific things that we respond to, as was listed in the ABC of the IPC document.
Okay, but we do need specific suggestions as to the wording to move forward. Chuck, I see you have your hand raised.
Yes, a comment kind of following up on what Jay Scott said there. And by the way, I should qualify that as GNSO chair, I will be included on the list for this group, but I intend to let you guys do your work and don't plan to be an active member going forward except as needed. But my comment is this. What I see in the first version of Objective 5, at least in the original wording, is that it stops short of what is needed. It says to determine whether there's a material difference between the two, but I don't think the intention was to stop there. If there is, I'm assuming that some analysis should be done beyond that, and I think that's what the second version of Objective 5 accomplishes.
Thanks, Chuck. So I'm just looking at Ron. I think you're working on wording there. So let's give Ron a chance to do that. And maybe in that case, we will reintroduce more specific wording into that objective. Is that okay with everyone? Looks like it. So let's...
Could you repeat that, Stefan? We lost you here in San Francisco.
Sorry, I was saying that Ron Andruff is working, he's just sitting next to me, working on wording to reintroduce some of the notions that were in the IPC version and try and narrow this down. So we're just giving him 5 minutes to do that, because he's working on the fly. Did you get that, Jay Scott?
And I might add, I welcome others to comment. No.
Well, Ron, we need to see something on the screen if you could put it up, and then we can wordsmith it from there.
Yeah, give him 5 seconds. Mary.
It's Mary Wong, NCSG. And this is more a question to those who are on the drafting team, I think it was, for this, for purposes of clarification. It seems to me, just reading the two, and I know we've taken the second objective sort of off the comparative table, but if we're reintroducing parts of it, that there's overlap between the two, but that it also potentially addresses some different things as to, for example, what is and the extent of a material deviation that may or may not have an effect on internet users. So I guess my question to the drafting team is whether there was some intent to capture something different by the two objectives or not.
Weren't you on the drafting team? I thought you were. Does everyone want to answer that?
Mary, this is J. Scott Evans, and I was on the drafting team. And speaking for the IPC version, what we were seeking to do and thought all along that needed to be done was the Objective 5 needed to study the effects on certain specific points, touch points, or either why even have this working group altogether. I cannot speak to the other version, which I believe was Milton Mueller. Someone else on the drafting team will have to correct me if I'm wrong, who was advocating that position, and I can't remember exactly what his rationale was.
Avery. And then we're Avery. Chuck, sorry. Chuck, have you still got your hand up, or was that from before? Okay, well, Avery, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, this is Avery from the NCSG, and anyone who was on the drafting team knows that I was the other half of the Milton Mueller and Avery Doria comedy act of two NSG folks who didn't agree with each other. So on this point was one where I did not agree with Milton, but since Milton's not here, and I hesitate to indicate that I'll express his view completely properly, but basically he has a very strong concern about defining it too broadly and basically defining ourselves into a situation where we were trying to basically boil the ocean, and so therefore that was why he was always trying to restrict it down.
But so what I'm hearing is that going in the direction that's been suggested now is actually something that the group would agree with. Yeah. Christina, you were making some comments on the chat. I don't know if you can hear me or not. Perhaps you're making those comments because you don't have access to a microphone. So let me just try and read those so that everyone has them. Is that it?
Yeah.
Going back to the supplementary documents issue, you could deal with it by saying supplementary documents including but not limited to. That would allow you to avoid a footnote, but it would also provide clarity. Is that something that people in this room are okay with? Do you want me to reread that? Yeah, okay. The suggestion is to add supplementary documents including, comma, but not limited to. I don't hear much against that. Okay, so we'll proceed to try and work that in. Thank you, Christina, for making that suggestion. Kathy.
Yeah, Stefan.
Jay Scott, are you able to? Are you on the Adobe thing?
Yeah, but it's not picking up my comments when I make them. But I see what she said. But you've left out the part where she said, in bracket, you need to give examples after that language, including but not limited to. And then she's got in bracket, this is Christina's comment, example, and then that's where she's saying that you would put in economic study or whatever else. You would give a couple of examples there.
Okay, thanks, Jay Scott. Kathy.
Good morning, good afternoon, all. This is Kathy Kleiman, and in the interest of full disclosure, I am now the Director of Policy with .org, the Public Interest Registry. And joining you from Reston, but a few weeks ago, I was still NCUC, and I remember seeing Milton and Avery argue over this issue. And I thought it was a much narrower issue that we were talking about for the working group, which is specifically whether, and please correct me if I'm wrong, which was specifically whether the vertical integration, as it was being introduced, as it is being introduced in the DAG, is a significant departure or change from where we were earlier, from what has been the current practice of ICANN. I thought that was the question coming into this working group, because if we look at other questions or the effect on Internet users, where is that documentation going to come from, and how long is this process going to take? Thank you.
Thank you. Now, we're still in the process of updating that document up there, and we have some comments on the chat from Jeff as well, Jeff Newman, but Jeff Eckhouse wants to make a comment here.
Yeah, I want to agree with what Kathy's stating, and I had spoken to Milton about it, and that was the rationale, and I think that that idea has somehow been lost on the note-taking up here is to look at the deviation between the contracts in the past and what's being presented versus trying to predict what's going to happen in the future and either possible or likely outcomes. So I think there's a complete difference between those objectives, and I think our combination here is sort of losing the original intent of the Objective 5.
Yeah, Margie.
Jeff, to answer your point, I think that's in other objectives. Right now we're focusing on Objective 5, right? Doesn't Objective 4 cover that, identify the differences and restrictions concerning separation on the one hand and the options described in the most recent version? Is that what you're referring to?
Unless I have an older version, but I believe that the Objective 5 was... that the last sentence was the options set forth in the recent version of the DAG and the supporting document constitute a material deviation from current and past restrictions and practices regarding registry, registrar separation.
Sorry, I was chewing. Okay, we're nearly up. Our hour's nearly up. just a couple of housekeeping issues that I want to raise. One, I will ask staff to send out a doodle for the call for this group. I suggest we don't do it next week because, you know, with everybody traveling and everything, it might be a bit too short notice, but perhaps the week after. I would also, as we said in the introduction, ask you all to communicate to your groups the call for volunteers. Glenn, do you have the list of the people who have been involved in the group today?
Yes, I have.
Right, so... as a starting point, those people would be on the... I suppose everyone... Does everyone that is participating today want to be included in the working group? No. Well, yeah. So, hang on. Let's do this in a simpler way, because I had assumed this was the case, but it's not. So, can I ask all the people that want to be in the working group and that have been involved in this and today's meeting to send an email to Glenn. Glenn, I forget your email, but I'm sure everyone has it.
Yes.
Saying that you want to be in the working group. And from that, we will start the list, the working group list, and we'll send out a doodle call for a call next week. No, sorry, the week after. Right, so...
One small point, please. If you send me your address, please send the address that you're going to use on this working group and not perhaps a travelling address which will only get to you today and not next week. Or if you want two or three addresses added to the working group to make sure that you cover all your addresses, please send them.
Thanks, Glenn. Now, either we cut it off here or we carry on for a little longer just to try and refine that objective five, but perhaps we can cut it off here, and that would be our agenda item for the next meeting, and I would encourage discussion on the list. When you do make suggestions for the objective five, it is very useful for us to us managing the work or centralizing it to have written suggestions of text where you want it added, and so that's clear for us so that we can update it. Any further comments? Any other business? Margie.
Just a couple things. We will need statements of interest for all the working group participants when you. And also, at some point, we're going to have to talk about, and maybe it'll be on the first meeting, a public comment period. When we start a PDP, there's usually a requirement at the beginning of the PDP process to do a public comment. So I just wanted to let you guys know about that.
And just to make it clear, my suggestion is that we pick up the work from what's on the board at the moment. So the objective five that's on the board right now would be our start-off point. Okay? Thank you, everybody, and see you again.